Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we're very glad that you're listening in today, and we appreciate the ongoing support that we've received from our listeners for this program. And so today I'm excited that we are talking about the topic of safe delivery, particularly safe delivery in Michigan, and what adoptive parents need to know about this. We have with us Paula Springer, who is a director in the Farmington Hills Office of Adoption Associates. So I'd like to welcome her to the show. Paula, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us and to talk about such an important topic that I know there's a lot of questions about. So we'll just kind of jump in here. A couple of years ago on our podcast, we did have a conversation, not you and I, but on this topic, understanding the law a little bit. But we're going to look at this from a bit of a different perspective today in terms of what adoptive parents should know, what the process looks like for them. So Paula, if you could get us started, I was hoping you could talk and help adoptive parents to understand the basics of what is Michigan's safe delivery of newborns law.
Sure. The law became effective January 2001, and the intent of Michigan was to follow along with many other states across the country who were making a law to prevent from being abandoned in unsafe places. We all hear the tragic stories of babies being found left abandoned on a front porch, in a dumpster, in a desk drawer. And the intent is to give young women an option so that out of their desperation, they had a better plan, and they could follow through with that with privacy and confidentiality, but still make a plan for safety for the baby. So the laws across the country were developed to give her an option. Every state has little different specifics and circumstances. Michigan's is very clear that the baby must be a newborn under 72 hours old, surrendered to an emergency service provider who can be identified as a hospital, a fire station, a police station, or an emergency service, an EMS call responding to that call to pick up a baby.
Okay. What do you have information about the numbers of adoptions that occur in Michigan as a result of safe delivery?
I do. The state of Michigan has a website, and they provide some of this information. They also track it. At the beginning of this year, there were approximately 186. So there's somewhere between 186 and 200 safe delivery surrenders have occurred in the state of Michigan so far.
Not this year. You mean since the inception of the law?
Since the inception, yes. This year, I don't know the number specifically. I'm sorry if I misspoke there, but total, somewhere between 186 and 200 total safe delivery surrenders.
Okay.
And that would be all across the state of Michigan to various agencies.
Okay. Paula, you mentioned the website. Do you happen to have that information that you could share with our listeners if they were wanting to look up online about safe delivery?
Sure.
I'm sorry you weren't prepared for that, so we can come back to it if you get it after a while.
I can certainly get it for you right now, yeah. It would be Michigan, well, actually, you can just Google safe delivery, and it'll bring you to the website, which is the State of Michigan Department of Human Services website that provides a lot of information.
Okay, great. And that's great information for lots of different people for lots of different reasons, too, I know.
Right. It's great information for referral sources for people who are receiving those babies for emergency service providers, as well as educators who want to be educating people, prospective birth parents about the situation, agencies, and birth parents can get contact information and direction about what to do, but I don't think birth parents often go to the website. They usually know about the law and go to an emergency service provider who knows the process and handles everything directly.
Which is a great option, obviously, and choice for them to do. We've talked a lot on this program in the past and within our agency about the role of birth parents in domestic adoption, including the birth parents' decision about the level of openness. How does that fit into what's occurring in a safe delivery adoption?
Well, in a safe delivery adoption, a birth parent is usually wanting that privacy, confidentiality, anonymity, and so she's not seeking openness in adoption. I usually define it as a closed and confidential adoption. She surrenders her baby to the agency, and then the agency makes the selection of the prospective adoptive family. There rarely is any meeting or contact between the two, and often the agency never even meets her. So for the family to meet her, they're really not going to get that opportunity, typically. And then there's no agreement generally for exchange of pictures and letters. Now, the adoptive family is selected by the agency. The birth mother can receive services from the agency if she wants to. She could meet with us. She could get some information about the family, and there are even a couple circumstances where birth parents have come back at a later time and said, gee, I would like to get pictures and letters from the family to know that the baby is doing well. But that's more the unusual side. Usually the family knows, they get some basic information. There's no meetings. There's no exchange of pictures and letters. So they should enter into that adoption as a closed adoption.
Okay, sure. What about medical information? Is there information available when a child is surrendered through safe delivery? And if so, what type of information would adoptive parents receive?
Well, I think an interesting fact to note, maybe even before we talk about that, because it will generate part of my answer, is that most babies for safe delivery surrender are surrendered at the hospital. Usually the baby is born, the birth mother will share with a hospital social worker that she wants to make an adoption plan. And so then we have a baby born in a hospital where there is going to be an ability to capture some medical information. For example, at the time I received some information off the website, and when they listed there were 186 total safe delivery surrenders, 181 of those were surrendered at hospitals.
Oh, wow.
And 4 were surrendered at fire departments, 1 at fire stations. Most surrendered at hospitals are actually born at the hospital. Not 100%, but most are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an ability to gain some information there. In any safe delivery situation, one of the pieces of the process is that the birth mother is offered an opportunity to fill out some health history information. It's pretty basic, but she's given an opportunity to provide some basic information about her extended family history, about the non-surrendering parent's family history. Was there any drug or alcohol use? Is there anything particularly important? That sheet is filled out in most cases. It is not mandatory for a birth mother to fill it out. So we may or may not get that information. So that's just in any situation. But then additionally, if a baby is born at a hospital and surrendered for safe delivery adoption, we're going to have information on the labor and delivery. We'll have some newborn assessment completed by the hospital pediatrician. There can be any additional testing if need be. And so under that circumstance, we can get some medical information surrounding the birth and the immediate care of the baby as a newborn. What we're not going to get is information on any prenatal records or prenatal care, even if there was prenatal care. We're just not going to have access to that. So it's limited at best. If a birth mother does make contact with the agency or is open to speaking with the agency, we can and we will ask her to complete our medical forms and give us some additional history. And so in some circumstances that has happened, but it's more unusual to get more information. So generally under that circumstance, a family is adopting a child with basically unknown health history.
Okay. So that's definitely something that's important, I would think, for a family to know. I know that another area that we've received some questions and that a lot of people are curious about is the legal process, because this type of adoption obviously is very different than a voluntary adoption that we're accustomed to. What does that look like, the legal process in a safe delivery adoption?
Yeah, it's a little different than the typical adoption where birth parents are involved and we schedule a hearing and, you know, we take all the normal steps. So when a birth parent surrenders a baby for adoption, for safe delivery adoption, she is asked to sign a voluntary release of parental rights. In most cases, they do that. And by signing it, she signs the form, says she understands she's surrendering her baby for adoption, that she has 28 days to petition the court for adoption. There'll be a hearing, but she'll not be required to be present. And she's basically completed all that she needs to do in the legal process. So we have that safe delivery release signed, and then we have to wait the 28 days to make sure that she doesn't petition the court to regain custody, and we can talk about that in a minute. In addition to terminating parental rights of the birth mother, we also have to terminate parental rights of a non-surrendering parent. So the agency is required to make attempts to identify the non-surrendering parent. That's done by asking her, whoever meets with her, the hospital social worker or nurse will ask her to do that. In most cases, she declines to identify the father, and she's allowed to do that in a safe delivery. We have had some cases where birth father has been identified or non-surrendering parent has been identified, and he's been an agreeable party to the adoption, maybe signed the same safe delivery forms that she has, or he can be noticed of the hearing, or there, you know, different legal process. But we have to make an attempt to, if we identify him, to take the proper steps for termination of his parental rights. Mostly, we're not going to be able to find him because he's not identified. So what's required in the safe delivery statute is to publish notice of the surrender in a newspaper of general circulation in the county in which the baby was born. And so we do that. And under those circumstances, if you have a non-surrendering parent who's looking for a baby to see if, you know, he's interested in parenting the baby, he's going to know to take the right steps to maybe secure an attorney and look in the newspaper and be able to find that. So it is a reliable means of attempting to locate a non-surrendering parent. There's another piece in the safe delivery law that's happening during while we're waiting these 28 days, and that is if the baby was not born in the hospital, we have to determine that the baby is not a missing person. So we have to contact the state police and the missing persons clearinghouse and make sure that the baby's not a baby that was abducted. And so that's a pretty simple step to do, and it just assures that the birth mother who surrendered the baby had a right to move forward and make an adoption plan. So these pieces are happening as we're moving through those 28 days. We wait the 28 days from the birth mother's surrender, as well as 28 days from the publish of the notice of surrender. So it's usually going to be maybe 45 days after the surrender of the baby, then we will petition the court for a hearing. The court will schedule a hearing then, and even though there's no birth parent to attend the hearing, the agency representative is there at the court to explain to the court the process. Most courts will ask either for a statement from or the presence of or a phone call from the hospital social worker or nurse or whoever accepted the baby to get that testimony on record too. And then the parental rights of both surrendering and non-surrendering parent will be terminated after that hearing. Then we move forward with filing the rest of the paperwork, which would be filing the family's adoption, the family completing the necessary supervision visits, and finalizing the adoption. After the termination, it all looks the same as a regular adoption.
I see. It sounds like a tremendous amount of information or activity that's happening really behind the scenes. And where is the infant during this time?
Oh, right. Good question. The baby in a safe delivery must be discharged directly to the adoptive family. There can be no interim host care or foster care. The baby must be placed directly with the adoptive family, who accepts the baby on a legal risk basis, which is really comparable to the same legal risk they accept when taking a baby in their home on a temporary placement basis in a normal adoption. Prior to termination of parental rights. So they're comparable. The bigger difference is in a more typical adoption, we've had an opportunity to meet with and spend time understanding the birth parent's adoption plan and their commitment to following through. In safe delivery, we probably haven't ever met the birth parent. So, you know, it's a little, a lot more unknown there about her ability to follow through. But the majority of safe delivery situations that we've experienced, the birth parents have thought it through and know what they're doing and do follow through with their situation.
Okay. So, Paula, how could, I guess what I want to do here is ask you how an adoptive parent could best be prepared for the placement of a child in their home through safe delivery, as well as have a discussion about any facts that you believe are important for prospective adoptive parents to know in reference to safe delivery?
Right. So, you know, thinking about this ahead of time and knowing and understanding that in this kind of a placement, they're going to have very little information about the background of the child, but also they're going to have very little advance notice. What happens in safe delivery is that when the baby is born, the hospital contacts the agency. We evaluate the situation and learn as much as we can about it to identify the proper family for the baby. Once we identify that family, we notify them that the baby's been born, that they've been selected as a prospective adoptive family for this baby, and then we want them to meet with the agency to learn about safe delivery, to learn about this particular situation, and then we take them immediately to the hospital to meet with the baby and begin visiting and be prepared to take the baby immediately upon discharge from the hospital into their home. Mm-hmm. So it all happens very, very quickly. There's this hustle bustle of activity that happens immediately. And then this period of almost 2 months of nothing happens and just waiting. So they have to kind of be prepared for the immediate response. Mm-hmm. And then this period of waiting time, knowing that behind the scenes, everything's being done in that legal process we discussed. Everything's being done that needs to be completed. And they just need to take care of that baby and love that baby while he or she's in their home. And know that we're moving forward. If we get any different information, any new situation, we'll most definitely let them know. But it's pretty much a waiting game to get to that point. And then once legal termination of parental rights is done, all the remaining things will happen. The caseworker will be visiting them on the required basis, you know, seeing them every 30 days, making sure they're doing well, the baby's adjusting well in their home, there's no health concerns, you know, everything's going well, and, you know, making sure that we have those reports on file. But other than that, there's nothing else that will be happening.
Mm-hmm. So for adoptive parents, as you mentioned, the hustle and bustle at the early end and then waiting, this is an exciting time, but maybe also a little bit nerve-wracking as well as they wait for the legal process to take place.
Sure. One of the things I like to tell families when I'm meeting them and educating them about safe delivery is that they need to move forward with this adoption being defined as a closed and confidential adoption. That there may be some misconception in our culture about safe delivery and thinking about it as possibly abandoning a baby or, you know, negative things. You know, she just didn't care about her baby. And there may be negative connotations to that kind of a situation. And I don't want them to move forward with their adoption defining it as that. I want them to define it as a closed and confidential adoption by a birth mother who cared very much about the future and well-being of her baby and for some reason was afraid to share this information with people in her life. And, you know, we can imagine all kinds of reasons why that might happen. But for whatever her own reasons are, she's chosen this safe way to provide her baby with a wonderful future. And, you know, at some difficulty to herself because she now is coping with her feelings of loss and grief on her own without the services of an agency because most choose not to become involved with the agency. But she's done all this in looking out for the well-being of her baby and for whatever her own reasons are of keeping this confidential and private, she's protecting the life of that baby, choosing to give this baby life, and moving forward in a wonderful plan. So I think families who adopt a baby through safe delivery need to remember that she's making the same brave and courageous choice that any young woman who chooses adoption is making, but she's chosen to do it in this confidential manner. And so I think as they bring this child into their home, just defining their adoption as a closed and confidential information is sufficient.
Absolutely. I think that's such an important point. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Were there any other important facts or information that you felt we should discuss today before the end of the show from the adoptive parent's perspective?
I do think just being aware of safe delivery and what it is, particularly if a family is waiting a longer time in our system. Often families identified to adopt a safe delivery baby might be families who've been waiting longer and not selected by other birth moms. So, you know, this can come kind of as a big surprise. And just if they've known about it as a possibility that this could be something that happens, it makes it a little easier to adjust to the way we're kind of turning their life upside down.
Right.
You know, and within 24 hours, they're getting a call. This baby's been born. You need to pick the baby up from the hospital. We're meeting you. We're doing all these things. And in that very brief period of time. So just knowing that this is a possibility and being ready and prepared to respond to the needs in the particular case is very important.
Awesome. Thank you, Paula. We're so grateful that you were able to come on and talk about this. It's not a topic that's received a lot of attention, so we were, I think, overdue to discuss it. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, and I'm so glad to share that information. You know, if people do have questions, they certainly can call any of our offices and talk to our workers. We're more than happy to talk about that and share that information.
Absolutely. And for our listeners looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you can reach us at 800-677-2367 on the web at adoptionassociates.net or connecting through Facebook and Twitter with Adoption Associates as well. We are, again, thankful for all of you for listening in and being in support of the Adoption Focus podcast. We look forward to continuing to bring you topics of interest in the field of adoption. Next week, we will be speaking with a father by adoption about his personal story and their call to adoption, as well as why their family has chosen just recently to pursue another adoption. So definitely looking forward to next week and hope all of you can join us again. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.